This episode is brought to you by Cream City Vapes. Go to creamcityvapes.com, a link in the description. Get butane and torches, carb caps and pearls, dab dumpster, dab tools, mood mats, temp readers. Free shipping over $50, and they plant one tree per product sold.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin, and you are listening to The Anthony Rogers Show.
You are now listening to the best show in the universe, The Anthony Rogers Show. You probably wish that this was your show, but it's not. It's The Anthony Rogers Show. Tell all of your friends to listen to this show.
Today's episode is starring Carol Baskin. She's the CEO of Big Cat Rescue, an animal sanctuary in Tampa. She's a big cat activist and star of Tiger King. Welcome back to the greatest show in the entire universe. Today we have a huge guest, activist, reality TV star at this point, I guess. like one of the biggest shows. I don't know. Carol Baskin, how are you doing?
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You know, it's weird to title you. I think you do like a million things. Like, so it's hard to almost intro somebody like yourself that has a background of like doing a million things, you know?
Yeah. And you know, what's weirdest about that is I really believe you can only do one thing well. So I should just stick to one thing.
That's hilarious. You're all over the news today with starting on the cat coin or like a cryptocurrency. Yeah. That like blew up today. Like they like,
I'm sorry, this vendor just keeps calling, and I can't shut my watch down. I can shut my phone down, but number one. Yeah, I'm really excited about the cat coin. It's not like a competitor to Bitcoin. It's a community coin for fans of Big Cat Rescue. And so I have this vision of like a entire metaverse where all of the people who love big cats can go see big cats, can see virtual big cats living free and can gather there and have a community. And I think this coin is like the gateway to that.
That's awesome. That's a cool kind of like idea and stuff. I like what you're doing. And I like what you're doing with animals and stuff too. It's a cool vibe. Like and it was weird because like you seemed like you had stuff going on before like this Tiger King thing even happened. It seemed like that almost like Jerry Springer'd something good you had going almost. You know, like, from my perspective, like it seemed like has that affected you like in a weird way being attached to somebody like Joe Exotic, like just or something like that? Like
Well, actually, in the business that I'm in, which is ending the abuse of big cats, there's a bunch of people who abuse big cats. And when yeah. I started this, there was probably, I don't know, maybe a few hundred of them. And by 2011, it was down to about 50 of them. And now there's just a handful, maybe five or six, that are still people that I feel like are the biggest exploiters of big cats. And so I was used to having my life threatened by Joe, who had been threatening my life for years. And these other people that are in the industry had threatened me. Some had even physically attacked me. And so I was accustomed to all of that. But I had never been attacked by the general masses because everybody knew who I was and knew what I was doing. And, you know, who wouldn't be in favor of protecting big cats? But because of the way the editors in Tiger King decided to spin their narrative, it caused people to absolutely hate me, which was amazing to me. It was like, you can't hate me. You don't even know me. If you had any idea what I am up against with these guys, you would not be hating me.
I respect that for real. No, I respect that. It's like out of nowhere, like a supervillain kind of character or something like that. Like, and I like that you can handle it because I feel like a lot of people can't handle going viral in any kind of negative way or in any kind of way. Because like with a show like Tiger King, it's everything. It was like a bunch. Everybody watched that show, and like everyone has seen that show almost. You know, I mean, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I hear so many people talk about how when they start to say something, they'll say trigger alert or something because they're so worried about how somebody might respond to something they say. And I think, gosh, you know, if somebody that fragile had been the victim of the Tiger King editors, they could have committed suicide over that. I mean, that was just, it was such a horrific thing that they did to me and my family, and they caused so much drama. I would fear that somebody that doesn't have as good of a attitude toward everything working out for the best like I do might have really been injured by that.
No, I bet that's crazy, and I respect that. Like you're still like and like you have Joe Exotic's zoo now, don't you? In May or something, I read. Like you had his former zoo.
He owed us over $1 million, and so the judge, for using our name, and all he had to do was stop using our name, but he wouldn't do that. He kept fighting through court, and we couldn't let him win and use our name and ruin it, so that's why we had to keep going after him.
This is
And so
crazy.
we ended up winning the lawsuit, and assets as they come in, we've been able to get. He had some inheritance to some land in Kansas, and then he had the GW Zoo, which we recently took over. And hopefully, it's going to be closing next week. We've got it sold, and we sold it with a caveat that nobody can ever have exotic animals there again. So we don't want to ever see those cages used for abusing animals again.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's a lot of darkness to that too. I think like, yeah, Tiger King's like a funny thing to watch, but there's a lot of like just like real shit going on. It's people's lives and stuff. It's crazy. Like when they like lost her arm, that was like insane. That was completely crazy. Like just to think about it, you know what I mean? It's like a documenting like just people's day. Like she went to work and just like lost an arm. That's like insane.
These
Yeah.
animals are so dangerous, and that's why they don't
A
belong
little bit.
in cages. We shouldn't have them in backyards and basements.
No, I definitely agree. My parents had like a parrot when I was a kid, and I hated seeing it in a cage. Like, it was like that. I said that same feeling, I think. But you just did something about it. I feel like it's like the difference. Like you mean, like I feel like it was like a. It's like, that's a good point. Like that sounds. I couldn't imagine being a caged animal. That's like insane.
I can really associate with how that must feel because. You know, for me, when I feel stressed, I go out walking and I'll just walk for hours and hours and hours, just like a big cat. They walk for hours. And the idea of them not being able to do that, to have to just walk in circles because they're in such tiny cages, is just horrific to me.
No, that's crazy to think about. That's awesome. You're doing something about that. Is that what kind of inspired this whole thing originally? I mean, I read Lucy on the internet, but I'm having a conversation. Is that what kind of inspired everything that you just start all these things basically? What was that moment, I guess? A better question. Like what was that moment that made you kind of to do all this?
Well, it actually started when I was like 8 years old. I learned that domestic cats and kittens were being killed in shelters due to overpopulation. And so that really lit a fire in me to put an end to that. And I didn't know how I was going to do it as a child, but I thought, you know, there's a lot of dogs and cats. This is going to be expensive. And so I would work all kinds of crazy jobs. I would get all the kids in the neighborhood working for me, and we'd cut grass and we'd wash cars and trailers and everything else. And that went over into my adult life. I would work three jobs at a time. I would invest every dime that I got. I lived very frugally. I drove a $100 Impala. I'd park it around back when I'd go into the bank to buy mortgages, defaulting mortgages from them because I didn't want them to see the way I lived. And I bought all my clothes at Goodwill. But it grew to be this passion to protect big cats. And that was because I had, as a result of being involved with smaller cats, ended up at vets' offices where if a bobcat gets hit by a car, the vet can fix them in 30 minutes or so, but then it's months of rehab before they can be released. And the only cats who can ever go free are the ones that are born in the wild. So I had started doing that. And then by the time I was in my 30s, I had built up a real estate business. And we were looking, my husband and I were looking for ways to give back. And we were thinking about supporting, you know, children's homes or old folks' homes or something like that. We were at an auction and a taxidermist was bidding on a bobcat. And I didn't know he was a taxidermist. I leaned over and I said, "When that cat grows up, she's going to tear your face off." And he said, "I'm a taxidermist. I'm just going to club her in the head in the parking lot and make a den decoration out of her." And so we came home with that bobcat, and she had been declawed, so she couldn't be released. And she was just a horrific pet, but there was nothing else to do with her. And so my husband started looking for a cat that she could grow up with that she wouldn't kill. And he found a guy that said he'd sell us kittens, but we had to drive there in person. And it turned out to be a fur farm. And it turned out there were 56 bobcats and lynx there that were going to be killed the next year for their fur. So we came home with all 56. And then that led us to buy out every single fur farm in the United States. And then people started calling and saying, "Would you take my lion? Would you take my tiger?" I'm like, are people doing with lions and tigers? And so every time something like that happened, I thought, all right, well, I can fix this. I'll, you know, take care of this problem, and then I'll get back to the small cat issues. And so it's been, I was so naive. It's been like 30 years now of trying to end the private possession of big cats. And now we've reached a point where in the next 5 years or so, we're going to lose the tiger in the wild if we don't end the private ownership and exploitation of these cats. because it's the all of these cubs, like did you see Tiger King? So all of those cubs that they breed for people to have their pictures made with them, they can only use them until they're about 16 weeks old, and then they can take a finger off a child. And so then they become a liability, and that's when they either give them away to people as inappropriate pets, or they will kill them for their parts, or they end up in these canned hunts where people will go to pay to shoot a lion or a tiger and say that they shot it on a safari when actually it was just in a cage. And so trying to bring that entire industry to an end has been the work that we've been doing for the last 20 years legislatively. And we're finally to a point where I think our federal bill will pass this year. It's gotten enough momentum now, and it has bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate. We have 165 members of Congress in the House that are supporting it, and we just launched in the Senate with two Democrats and two Republicans. So I really think it can pass, and what it'll do is ban the cub petting, so you can't pay to pet a cub, which stops that whole breeding and discarding industry. And then it phases out private possession, so people who have them can keep them, but they can't buy or breed more. And the reason that all of this is killing the tiger in the wild is because all of this untracked ownership and possession of the parts of these cats creates a legal smokescreen for illegal activity. So if you get caught right now with your tiger skin rug on your wall and your tiger's teeth necklace, you could just say that was my pet tiger that died, and nobody can do anything to you. Once we ban that, then if you get caught with those items, then you go to jail, you have a heavy fine, and it's always going to be cheaper to poach tigers in the wild than it is to raise them for 5 years until they're full grown in captivity. It costs us like $10,000 per year per tiger just for their food and vet care, not any of the overhead of the sanctuary. So a bullet is a whole lot cheaper, and that's why tigers are disappearing in the wild and why we have to stop it.
You covered a lot of really heavy things. It's like there's like 15 different amazing points in that. Congrats on your bill, by the way. That's I read about that, and congrats about that. Like that, I think that's a good step in that, and that's what they're saying. I think that's what that Joe guy was accused of too, is like killing his tigers after like they're cute or whatever the terminology. That's insane. Yeah. What's the solution like to say. Because I can see private ownership being terrible, like if the people are ridiculous. Like, I can see like good people, like you have a sanctuary. I mean, I see like good people have like good places for. What is your solution for the tigers? Like you think, like if they can't be held, like or can't be kept, or you know what I'm trying to ask. You're an expert in this field. I'm a layman trying to translate. But no, I feel like what is the solution for all the tigers and stuff if they're not being like in homes or anything like that? You know, like we're just back to the wild or something. Or?
Well, unfortunately, no cat that has been born in captivity can be released back to the wild, no big cat. So that's not legal. And
Okay.
it wouldn't work
Maybe not.
because it takes the mother like 4 or 5 years to teach her cubs everything they need to know about staying away from people mostly. Whereas these cubs were pulled and bottle raised their whole life. They weren't raised by their mother, so they imprint on people, and they would eat people if you release them. Yeah, there's that.
That's crazy.
Sanctuaries like mine, we don't want to exist. We don't want to have cats in cages. And
Your
even though
solution was so like I'm sorry, go ahead. You're like a solution so far. You're not like it's like instead of an invention, you're like a solution, you know?
well, we're not even a solution. We're just kind of like a halfway house. And what we need to do is stop, you know, you got to turn off the tap before you go and mop the floor. And so we got to stop all these cats being dumped out into private ownership by these cub petters first before we can figure out the rest of this. But I actually have an idea for the rest of this that I think will work. And this is part of what we were doing with the launching of the cat coin at rally.io. And that is, I don't know if my cable will reach all the way over here, but are you a gamer?
Oh yeah, actually, it's funny you ask that.
What's your headset of choice?
I'm wearing it actually underneath this. That's why I wear this stupid hat to hide this microphone. I have like a gaming hat for Xbox. I play Xbox all the time.
Well, I'll have to remember that trick. Maybe I can stick it under my flower crown. So we created a virtual reality game, which we were working on this in January of 2020. and it launched in June of 2020, but Tiger King came out in March of 2020, right between. And I was so excited about launching this virtual reality game. It was the first time ever that a game actually taught people about protecting tigers in the wild. And it brought you through this whole thing of, you know, finding out that this tiger's been snared by poachers and you have to go in and release her. And then at the end of it, you actually make a call to Congress, a real live call to Congress to support our federal bill. And because of Tiger King, the media didn't want to talk about it. They just wanted to talk about that freaking shit show that was Tiger King. And I'm like, we have something really important here that could change the world. And they're like, oh yeah, and she's got a phone app. And it's like, no, it's not a phone app. It's total immersion in the tiger's realm. And so we've been working on these virtual reality and augmented reality things since 2012, but the public just has not been ready for this. And I think finally with COVID, they're ready. You know, they've done a lot more like Zoom calls and a lot more people are doing gaming, and Oculus now has this affordable headset. But my ultimate goal is, imagine this. You've been working all day in the rat race, and you come home and you put on your headset and you say, take me to the Himalayas. And you go to the Himalayas in your headset, where you are completely surrounded by these real-time, live streaming, 360 internet streaming, remote controlled cameras, where you are in the actual environment where snow leopards are living. And you look in any direction and you're like, oh yeah, I see the snow leopard down there. Let me hop over to that camera so I'm a little bit closer, and you can bounce on over through this network of these cameras. And then you watch these cats living in the wild, hunting, mating, raising their cubs, doing everything they do. And all of the ad revenue and the subscription revenue goes into these local villages to, one, keep the cameras running, because I have a dozen of those cameras here at the sanctuary, and they are always in need of somebody to go wipe the lens off or something. And it provides them with an income they could never get selling yak fur on the, you know, local village market. And so the only way that that keeps money coming into them is if they keep their entire area's ecosystem in balance, because a big cat can't survive unless there's plenty of prey. So you can't be cutting down the forest or polluting the streams or doing all of those kinds of things, which are usually done just because people are trying to subsist and eke out a living from the environment. Now they've got all this money coming from all around the world. They've got a better living, better standard of living, if they just protect those cats in that area. And that protects the entire planet. That means we all have fresh water to drink. We all have fresh air to breathe. And it unifies us in a way that we've never been unified before, where we're all sharing in the natural resources of this planet. So I think this has a huge potential. And the cat coin was just like my first gateway drug to try and ease people into this, like, check out this thing called crypto. You can actually buy it with a credit card if you don't understand the whole wallet thing, and we'll ease you into it a little bit at a time, and then bring in this entire networked world across all of these different devices.
No, that's super ambitious and interesting. Like, I like that idea, and I could definitely see that working. Like you sold it really well to me. That's interesting. Well, what made you think of like putting like technology with this? Are you already doing this? I guess you said you already have cameras on your sanctuary, like that.
My friends at CBD Direct have given you a no-excuse option to try the highest quality plant-based medicine at the absolute lowest cost. Tinctures, gummies, pet chews that you're using to calm anxiety, support better sleep, and just live better are available from up to 80% below most CBD products available. That includes the cost of your membership. Go to the website, link in the description, use my link to get a free tincture. Trust me, the value and price are too
good. Where can people see that? Like, I should have like looked that up first. Where can people see that?
Big Cat Cams. Big Cat Cams is a vanity link that goes there. And you'll find there's a lot more than 10 that are there, because a lot of our cameras are Nest cameras. So we have, like, in our rehab area, we do rehab and release of native bobcats. And those enclosures, just for a single bobcat, are over 5,000 square feet, and they might have like six cameras on one cage. But we have 10 cameras that are strategically placed around in cat cages around the around the property, and we're installing 36 more. So we are in the process of laying fiber optic and all of that so that people can see what our cats are doing all day long if they want to, and seems like they want to because they do that. And then every week we put out two videos. We've always put out a single video on YouTube, and we have something like, I don't know, 600 million views or something. But we started a couple of years ago putting out a 180 3D because there aren't any good 360 3D cameras yet. But the 180 view, which is like everything you can see here, is all in 3D. We do those once a week too. And they are actually being viewed more because people with headsets than our regular videos are, because when you put that on and you are in the enclosure with the cat, that's something we can't do here. I can't even do that. I can't go in and get that close to the cat, but the camera can if we protect it well enough. And people love that. They love being able to like look up into the tiger's mouth while it's chewing and see its teeth ripping apart the flesh. And it's just amazing.
That is super innovative. I love that idea. Like a digital zoo. I love that idea. Like that the animals probably love that, because like that's the problem I have, like the St. Louis Zoo. I go here and like all the animals are hiding from the public. It's like, why would they want to be on display type thing? It's like, I mean, you like feel their energy, and it's like, it's just sad. The animal doesn't like it. But I think in a situation like that, they love that, and it give the people what they want. Give like the voyeur the aspect to like see what wildlife's like. Like there's like shows on like Netflix and stuff. I see a lot of that. You could probably take that content and honestly make TV shows out of that if you're not already. I mean, you might already be. I don't know. I mean, but I think like you could probably make good content out of that. But the VR thing is cool. How do you do the VR thing you're talking about? You could literally put on a headset, like a VR headset, and then like it's be at your place, you're saying?
Well, no. As far as the webcams, those are on flat screens, so you can do that on your phone or on
your still awesome. Yeah, I was just wondering.
But I'm thinking that, you know, that technology is already out there for motion sensored cameras. So I'm sure you've seen like trail cams of like maybe a cougar running past a trail cam, and somebody posts that on the internet, on YouTube or Facebook. And it's like, oh, look, this mama cat with her cubs ran across the scene. Well, you know, that's great. I love that kind of stuff, but I want to know, where were they coming from? Where were they going? Well, if you had a 360 camera there, you could see them coming. You could see where they were going. You could see everything that's happening in their world. And so doing that in real time is where I think the magic is, because I don't know if you remember years ago when the internet first came out, there was something called, I think it was called Africam. And it was like this camera that was out on this lake in Africa, and people would sit there for hours waiting for an animal to come get a drink out of that pond. And people do that kind of thing. They love the sounds of the birds and the nature and all of that. And then when you actually get to see an animal, it's just, there's something about seeing it in real time that is just so much more magical than seeing it. You know, the stuff that I put out on videos each week, that's stuff we taped and then we put it out on the internet. But this could be done in real time once the technology is a little bit better.
Oh, that's an awesome idea. And like, yeah, you were releasing videos before all this. It seemed like you have like a serious thing going on and got wrapped up in this like Jerry Springer story. Like from my perspective, I mean, like not to downplay anybody. I don't know these. They're human beings. I don't know them, but I'm just saying like they seem like kind of like stars of like Jerry Springer. Like, you know, like you're in like Florida, aren't you? Like you're not even in that Oklahoma like or anything. Like, okay, yeah, that's why that was just weird. So that you just got, I feel like you were like doing a bunch of awesome things, just got thrown in this weird story. like to be honest, I don't know. That's my perspective. Is that your perspective, I guess? Or like,
well, it's funny. I just recently met Jerry Springer, and it's kind of like my story. He is like the nicest person in the world. He's so nice and polite and gentle. And it's like, how was there a Jerry Springer show when you were this gentle person? But yeah, the whole thing was just, I mean, the whole idea of there even being a feud was ridiculous, because I've never spoken to Joe. And how do you have a feud if you don't have people like, you know, nipping at each other's heels? And of course he was, you know, threatening and using my name all the time, but I just ignored that, because for me, it's about protecting these cats. It's not about these individuals. And I, you know, there's no point in engaging with somebody like that. It's like taking on a 5-year-old on the playground. It's like, what are you going to win from that? That's not going to help anything. And yet that was what they turned the entire show into, was to try and make it that kind of a situation. And I think the worst thing they did was to try and paint zoos and sanctuaries as being the same. They used, we have our smallest cage here for a 20-pound cat is 1,200 square feet. That's bigger than my house. It's like your house cat having a whole house size for them to live in with nobody else having to share that space. That's our smallest cage. And yet in Tiger King, people thought that those little feeding boxes where our cats come in and they have their water and where they get fed, they thought that was their whole cage, because if you look at the editing, that's all they ever showed. They'd ask me to go stand by that box. They'd film that little piece. And then people were screaming at me for months afterwards saying, how could you keep those cats in those little boxes? It's like, are you freaking kidding me? We got cameras everywhere. You can see how our cats live. It's nothing like that. So it really was just a horrible thing that they did as far as the editing to try and fit a narrative that just wasn't true.
They seem like the most normal person, like on that show. Like I was watching that, like, and I'm not gonna just make fun of people, but I think like you just seem the most normal, like out of those people.
That's not saying much.
fair. No, that's gotta be weird, because like you already had your own thing going on. You're releasing a lot of videos. People watch. You had millions of views before Tiger King. Like, so you were kind of killing it on your own before that. I mean, I think it brought more attention to it because that was a show like literally everybody saw on Netflix. But I think like in America, at least, like during that, it was like quarantine, it hit the right time, I guess. I don't know. But like you had, like I said, you had millions of views just off that, because people do want to see wildlife and people are interested in like what you're doing. And that's interesting too. Like you were getting numbers before like all that, before pop culture, you know? Like,
yeah, we spent a lot of energy in trying to build up our social media channels, because I felt like in the very beginning of the Sanctuary back in the 90s, when we could only afford to pay three people, I didn't take a paycheck for the first 11 years, but when I could pay three people, I paid one person to manage volunteers, because all of our animal care is done by volunteers. So they need somebody who's telling them, you know, this is what needs to get done today and making sure that that gets done. The second person was to run the gift shop, because you have to be able to sell the hats and the shirts and the socks and everything else to get your logo out there and get people sharing that kind of stuff. And then the third was somebody who was a media producer, because I felt like these cats really tell their own story better than anything else we could do. And bringing these cats to people's living rooms and to their pockets when phones became available was the best way to reach people. And so we've always had just amazing fan support on all of the social channels.
No, it's smart. I like what you did. You have like a good like thing, and then like that's always my goal. It's like be a millionaire with like a clean soul. Like, I don't know your finances, but like it seems like you have that energy of like a millionaire. Like my perspective, like that's how they think. I mean, you seem like you're doing well, is all I'm saying. But yeah, I know it's like I think that's good. It's like keep a clean soul and get as rich as you can. Really, it's like two important things. Then you can do better things when you're rich. You know, you could like help more people. You can help more animals in your case. I think that's a very noble thing. I think it's awesome.
I think that's the only purpose of money, is actually to do good for others. There's no joy in having it for yourself, I don't think.
No, that's a great point. I think only like people without money think that. You know what I mean? Then you get there, you're like, oh, now I have like, I don't know, more Chipotle, I guess. I don't know. It's like, you know, it's like, or whatever, you know what I mean? I could afford lunch every day or something. You know what I mean? Like, what do people really spend their money on? That's about it, probably, you know?
It's like, yeah, I can remember being poor, and I can remember scraping together pennies to fill up the gas tank to get to the next job. But I think that is a big part of what drove me to work even harder and to sock money away so that I could do these kinds of things later on. And currently I have to raise between $3.5 and $4 million every single year to take care of all of the stuff going on here at the sanctuary. And that's a lot of money to raise when you don't have a product. You know, the only product, my husband coined this, I thought it was pretty clever. He said, the only product we have is satisfaction. We're selling satisfaction, that when you donate to us, you feel satisfied in where your money's being spent. And I think that's true.
That's a great point. That's crazy. How long have you been married, I guess? Like,
oh gosh, Howie and I met in November the 1st, 2002. We got engaged November the 1st, 2003, and we got married November 1st, 2004, because he wanted to make sure he didn't have to remember more than one date.
That's funny. That's awesome. Yeah, I saw him on the show too. I don't, like I said, this is the first, you're probably the second person I've spoken from this, so I don't know any of you, but I like watch it as a voyeur. So I know, like, you guys seem like a smart team. I don't know. He seems pretty smart on it too. You guys both seem on it. Like I feel like that's what I got out of that.
Whereas he's a lot smarter than me. He's a Harvard MBA.
Oh no! Okay, that makes sense. I can see
dropout.
You what? I'm sorry.
I'm a 10th grade dropout.
Yeah, but you have that work ethic though. You have that fucking like the American ambition. You know, like I think that's what I mean, I think a lot of people are like that. Like American, you could be either way. You know, I think there's multiple ways to get up there. I think Harvard's definitely a good tool, and I think like ambition is amazing too. You know, it's like crazy. So, do what? I'm sorry.
We make a good pair.
No, yeah, I noticed that. That's interesting. Just from like watching interviews and stuff. Nothing, like I said, I don't know you guys, but that's interesting. So, how has this affected your life? I guess you already kind of had your own thing going, but how does this kind of affect your life? Like good and bad. I'm sure there's some really good stories. Like because energy kind of collects like energy. So probably met some really good people out of this experience too, I imagine. Like, what are some positive stories? I guess
My husband describes it as a wave. So a wave, and you've got these waves going on in the background there. So a wave comes in really fast and hard and hot and heavy. And that's the way it was after Tiger King, because people believed the narratives that they saw. And so they all came in so angry and, you know, screaming obscenities and saying they were going to burn the place to the ground and just all kinds of stuff. And as a wave recedes, it goes out more slowly. And so that has been the case after the first 3 months or so, that hatred and that vitriol started to recede as people started doing their own investigations and started finding out, oh, these things that I thought were true aren't true. And so it's been nice to see that shift. I'm a little bit concerned because I believe there is a Tiger King 2 series out there, and we've told them we don't want any part of it, but I don't know whether or not they'll try to use stuff, because they followed us around with cameras for 5 years. So they've got plenty of stuff that they could still use. And knowing the way that they spin it, it's like, oh my gosh, are we in for another 3 months of that? For me, the worst part of it was that I'm on call 24/7. If a bobcat gets hit by a car, like just yesterday, we got a call, my daughter and I did, of a bobcat who had been hit by a car. She was in severe pain. She was 3 hours away, 2 hours and 45 minutes away, and she was still alive. And so we were scrambling, trying to find somebody over on the other coast of Florida that was closer to her, that could go get her off of the side of the road and, you know, at least keep her from dying right then and there. And unfortunately, she died before we could get anybody there. And, you know, we would have driven over there if nobody else was going to go, but we thought we could find somebody closer. But anyway, when I'm on call and I can't answer my phone because every 2 minutes it's somebody else calling to scream at me, there's no opportunity for me to sleep at all for 3 months straight. And so I had to turn my phone off during the night so that I could at least sleep for a few hours. And that meant all of those cats that we could have helped during that period of time died because there was nobody else that could go and make, you know, help them. And I hated that people were so misled that they caused that kind of suffering during that period of time. And I really dread that that could happen again with a season two. But to answer your question about how were the good things, there were a lot of good things. Like when Dancing with the Stars reached out to me, I thought they must be out of their minds because I don't dance. And everybody who knows me knows that. But they said what they would do is give me a platform to talk about the issues, because I felt like the Tigers were the ones who were really harmed the most by Tiger King. There was so much that they could have done to mobilize people, to get people to contact Congress and get that bill passed last year. And instead, it created a nightmare situation for us. But when Dancing with the Stars offered to give me that platform, not only did they do it during the period of time that I was dancing, but they still to this day stay in contact with me. They say that, you know, different media people reach out to them and say, hey, do you still have her number? Could I contact her? And so they'll send them on to me. And it gives me the opportunity to keep talking about our federal bill and about ending the cub handling. And that's what it's going to take to save the cats in the wild. So it's been a really, really good experience. And then just in April of this year, I discovered things like BitClout and Clubhouse. And I've met some amazing people in those industries. And so that has helped me to further so much of these dreams that I had for a virtual world that we can see these cats in instead of seeing them in cages and zoos. It's given me the opportunity to connect with people who can actually make those dreams come true. So I am really, really thankful for the opportunity to have met these people. And I think probably Clubhouse wouldn't have become what it did if it weren't for COVID. So again, it's like, here's this horrible thing, but something good always comes out of the most horrible things, I think.
No, there's always silver lining. I mean, Renaissance happened after bubonic plague. You know, there's always like so much, like, you know, and there's always so much good and bad situations as well. Yeah, no, I see that. I think social media is going voice next. I think that's how people are going to be communicating with each other. Like they already kind of are. They say like a couple sentences instead of a text. I think that's kind of how Clubhouse is like. It is kind of like on it. I think that's where social media is going to be more voice oriented, or at least a section of it. You know, at least some people will find that luring. You know.
You know, one of the things I thought was so interesting, somebody said this on Clubhouse, was that all of the other social media outlets you can outsource. You can't outsource your own voice. And that's where people will really find out who you are, is when you have to be there being who you are. And it's like, wow. I maybe that's why I like it so much.
No, that's an amazing point. Yeah, you can't just like post memes someone else made, or you can't just like, I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's your own content only. That's interesting. I like that. I literally think that's where it's going. I think it's where social media is going. I think kids will always use like TikTok, like things like video kind of thing. Like, I don't know. There'd be a lot of need for a lot of those things. I like that you do that with your name also. I like that. Cause I didn't really know. I was just interested in getting an interview kind of as a journalist, getting to know a person that's in pop culture more so. But like, I like how you attached like an actual cause to what you're like, just even in this episode, just from my limited point of view of knowing you, I think literally that's great. Like you brought a lot of attention to people, viewers or listeners may like, check out on their own time and how they can actually help animals. And like, and then that's a very positive message. And I think that's what, I think that's more important. I think like we got enough bad news these days. I think it's good to have like just interesting things that actually show results and help people, you know, and animals in this case, you know.
Yeah, who doesn't love animals?
No, it's great. Yeah, that's a very valid point. I wouldn't trust anybody that doesn't, you know.
Right.
That's crazy. So yeah, no, I forgot you're in Dancing with the Stars. Like, well, so what? Like, that's crazy. Honestly, to even think about like what was that like? I guess like I didn't watch any. I don't watch TV that much. But like, what was that like to be that experience? Like, I guess.
Well, I had never seen the show. My daughter was the one that wanted me to do it, and my daughter and my husband both wanted me to do it because they said, you know, if people see that you're willing to try anything, and that you're smart. You know, you're a likable person, then maybe it'll help with all of this hate that you're experiencing. And for me, the only reason to go was to get the message out about the cats. But I thought, and I do this all the time, how hard could it be? Oh my gosh, that was like the hardest physical thing I've ever done in my life. And I was bound and determined, you know, there was like, I forget, like 12 episodes that you could be on. And so I was determined I was going to be on all 12 of them. I was going to be the last person standing on that stage because I was going to use every single week to talk about big cats. And so they rented an apartment for me. And they told me I could only have like 2 or 3 hours a day practicing with my dance coach. And I'm like, I can't learn to do this stuff in 2 or 3 hours a day. So what I did is I cleared out the entire apartment except for a television set and a chair. And then I videotaped Pasha. He's an amazing dance instructor. I videotaped him doing my steps and from behind so that I could then follow him on my TV every night. And I would like do it over and over and over. And I did it until my feet were literally dripping blood. I was so determined I was going to stay in the running. And I had gone like every day I was having to go to the pharmacy across the street to get more stuff to wrap around my feet. I was so happy that I was in like that cat suit the last time because it's like, now I am really wrapped to the teeth because I'm just not going to bleed all over this costume. But oh gosh, that was hard. And I just couldn't get it. I thought surely it could not be so difficult that I couldn't learn a dance step, but geez, I could not memorize those steps and do it with, you know, grace and flow. They said that I actually did all the steps right, but just doing the steps is not what dancing is. And I just never mastered dancing.
That's gotta be crazy. Yeah, no, like it's like something like, were you a dancer at any point in your life, like prior to this?
I didn't even dance at my wedding. It was considered a sin in my family, so I never, even as a child, danced.
Oh, Dan, are you Christian? What religion?
It was Christian.
I thought so. Yeah, it makes sense. I can see why. Yeah, no, I can see why. Like honestly, I can see why people would think that, though. But so are you Christian still?
No, I believe in God, but I believe that God is in all of us, and I believe that God is a whole lot bigger than what is described in the Bible, which sounds like a pretty petty, jealous kind of God, like somebody that we made up. And I think that the God that we all are is way bigger and way more powerful than that. And that we need to remember that we are all part of that Godness and that we need to all love each other and respect where each other is along our path. People ask me, do you hate Joe Exotic? And I don't. I hate the things that were done to these animals, but not the people.
You nailed that religion answer. That was a beautiful answer. legitimately, that was a great answer, and I agree with it. I mean, that was a great, I mean, that was just a great answer about that. I was just like, I don't know. That's awesome. So, I don't know.
I always hesitate on that because it's like, you don't know, I don't know who, where that person that asked that question, I don't know where their head is in relationship to that, what I'm having to get back out of it.
Well, yeah, being authentic always works, though. You know, I think that's just being your true self. You'll the people that are irritated, they're not worth it. You know, at the time, I mean, they're worth something, just not around you or me. You know, like you gotta be authentic. You know, I think that's real. That's what I connected with. That was a real answer, I think. So I think definitely religion kind of like limits God, I guess. And it's interesting though. I like that perception. Are you from Florida? Where are you from originally?
I was born in San Antonio, Texas, at the Air Force Base, but my father was only in for one session, which I think are like three, four years. And then we moved back to Tampa and then to West Virginia and then back to Tampa.
That's awesome. That's cool. So you said you're Tampa based then.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's cool. No, Florida's beautiful. It's a great environment. Wow. I don't know. It's crazy.
Where are you?
I'm in Missouri right now, like the middle of the United States. I like that nobody knows anything about it. That's like my favorite thing about Missouri. It's like nobody knows like much about it. They're like, oh, St. Louis is there, I think. Or, you know, they don't know much about it. Have you been to Missouri?
I was actually in St. Louis during 9/11, could not get a plane out, ended up renting a rental truck and packing it full of people who needed to be dropped off throughout the United States on the way home.
That's the best St. Louis story I've ever heard in my life. That's crazy. So were you just cutting through, or were you in St. Louis visiting, or like what were you doing, I guess?
I was at a conference there for the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And I think that zoos are like, they're the last stronghold that I have to deal with, because most people understand cats don't belong in fur coats, cats don't belong in the circus, cats don't belong in backyards and basements, but people still believe that it's okay to have cats in zoos. And I'm like, no, that's like the worst message you could teach a kid, is that it's okay to take away that cat's birthright to a natural life and hold them prisoner because it amuses you in some way. What kind of message is that to teach a kid? And so getting past that is something where I felt like the only way I could do it was from inside the zoo industry, to learn who they are, what they do, why they do it. And it's all about money. So if what they want to do is make money, how about they create, instead of cages full of animals, they create these location-based experiences. So we talked earlier about putting the headset on and you're watching the cats in the Himalayas, but maybe you can't afford a $500 headset. So you go and you pay your 10 bucks and go to the zoo. You go to the Himalaya exhibit house, and when you go in there and put on their headset, they're blowing cold air at you. You're sitting on rocks, you know, you have that whole experience. I think people would love that.
That's an amazing idea. Yeah, the St. Louis Zoo is boring, and the animals look sad. Like that's the worst part. I think a zoo could be done right. Like, if you gave them, I don't know. I guess, like, being watched by people will always be awful for animals. I guess that would be awful. Like, being a pet. And, like, I see what you're saying, actually. Yeah, no, I knew, but I just don't know. Black, I always try to think of, like, exceptions of, like, how it could be okay. But I really, yeah, the captured animals, it really isn't good, I guess. Like, I can't think of it. Like, you know what I mean?
You know, we had a bobcat that came in because she had broken her leg. She'd been hit by a car. And the vet fixed her up, and then she had to spend a few weeks in the cat hospital. And then we put her outside, and we put them in increasingly larger cages. And so by the time, you know, she probably had been like 6 weeks after she had been initially injured, before she was in this 5,000 square feet. And I noticed on the cameras, because I watched them to see how they're doing, she was pacing one night all the way around the cage. She kept doing lap after lap after lap. And I was like, for crying out loud, how many laps did that cat do? So I went back and I counted them. And if you figured the footage around that cage, she traveled 16 miles in a single night, like 6 weeks after having her hip shattered and her leg broken. And it's like, there's just no cage you could ever put a 20-pound bobcat in that's going to be sufficient for that cat. And tigers, they roam like hundreds of miles. So there's no cage that's ever going to be sufficient for them.
No, you're right. I could definitely see that. They look the saddest. The lions and the tigers look the saddest in the zoo. Like, I always hate that, seeing that part of it. It's like, Because the St. Louis Zoo is free, so I would when I moved to St. Louis, I would spend so much time going to it. I and just other things that were free, I would do the tourist thing when I first moved there. And, like, I mean, yeah, no, the zoo was always sad. I mean, people, like, it was just, like, I couldn't, I hated seeing animals, like, captured like that. That's crazy.
And the worst part about zoos, in my opinion, is that at night, which is when cats are most active, they're locked in these inside jail cells with no windows, and they aren't let out until the zoo opens the next morning. And then as soon as the zoo closes, they're locked up again for the night. So the time when they would be doing the 16 miles like that bobcat, they're stuck in a little box where they can't see anything.
I never knew that. So they don't let them roam that whole time, like in that area? That is insane. I never knew that. They didn't want, because like they could escape at night and stuff easier, probably.
It's mostly because people will break in and get in trouble. So they don't want to have to put in the security that they'd have to put in to keep people from doing stupid things like jumping into the tiger den.
That's crazy. Yeah, I guess you got to be responsible for idiots' actions anymore. That's crazy to think. I didn't know they're put in cages still. That's like even worse. No wonder they're like, you can just tell they're sad. The only ones that look happy are the penguins. Like the penguins look happy still. Like I feel like, but it's still captive. You know, it's still captive. That's crazy. So no, I like your solutions of like ending a lot of that stuff. I actually do like that. I just got to figure out we need acres for these things, really. I mean, or like just let certain wild be wild, I guess, you know, like and to stop the bringing wild animals into, it was like, yeah, my parents had this beautiful green parrot like growing up. It was always in a cage and I always hated seeing it. I always felt so bad for it. I just give it like pizza and stuff. I'd give it like so many like different, I try to make it happy in some kind of way. Like, it's not, you know, I mean, I don't own it or anything. I was like a child, you know? So it's like, but I just hated seeing it in a cage. It's crazy. You made like a career out of like making sure that doesn't happen. I kind of like that, to be honest. It's like a cool kind of vibe. Is there any kind of links you want to throw on here before we get out of here? Like, any kind of, like what should people check out that you're doing right now? I mean, there's a bunch, but what are some links, I guess, like?
Two things that would be most helpful is your audience is mostly US based.
It depends. We're on a bunch of podcast tracks right now. So we're like France, India, and America are the biggest right now.
Okay. So if you are in America, the thing that you can do is help us make this this bill pass this year. And what it does, it only does two things. It bans cub petting and it phases out private possession. People who have them can keep them. They just can't buy or breed more. And at bigcatact.com, we make it possible for you to just with typing in your email address or your snail mail address, it'll know who your senator is and your congressman. It'll send them an email, a tweet, or a call. A call is the best thing you can do, but a lot of people are afraid to. So that's why we have the other two options. And then if you don't really understand the situation well enough that you feel like you want to talk about it, or if you're in a country other than the US, then I would suggest cubtruth.com. There's like three little short videos there that explain why it is that petting cubs is causing the extinction of the tiger. We actually created an animated explainer video because it's not an easy concept for people to wrap their head around. And so if you see that, then anytime you see somebody posing with a big cat cub or any kind of wild animal on any of these social channels, if you just, you know, kindly don't scream at them, be nice to them, but kindly send them that link to cubtruth.com so that they can educate themselves as to why that's always an evil thing to do to the animals. That would stop people from doing it. And if you think about it, that's the only reason anybody ever pays to pet a cub. They want to show off. So if they show off and people tell you, you know, look, you don't know what you're doing, you need to check this out, then they feel like, that was stupid, I don't want to share that anymore. And it would end the problem even where in places where we can't change the laws.
This episode is brought to you by DIY Gift Kits. Go to DIYGiftKits.com, a link in the description, and get yourself a hot sauce making kit right now.